Hey, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, publicbroadcasting.org. It's the spin cycle of free speech, because don't you feel it just spinning away, like our country? It's just kind of spinning away from us, spiraling away. It is, and it's a flaming wreck also. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, pump a few more quarters into the dryer, and keep free speech at least not too damp. All right, let's do that. Free speech, we were talking about that, Jeremy. Could you speak freely about where in Round Rock, Texas, to direct this badly needed funding?
Well, if you want to keep free speech clean, and the RBN's a place where you can go when your free speech laundry equipment is broken, you can take your free speech there, and you can process it and get it all cleaned up and ready to go and present. You can mail your check or money order to RBN and mail it to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Call in your debit or credit card to 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. And keep free speech alive, because it's very important that you have a facility to air your free speech.
That was good. And clean, because it's clean speech as well, and classy. I remember sometimes during Stormfront, it was sometimes even on RBN, and callers would call up and they'd drop F-bombs and whatnot. And like, especially on Stormfront, it was kind of my job to say, you know, this is English only, no French, please. And sometimes you have one of the callers might say, oh, why are you censoring me? Like, no, we speak English, not Zio Newspeak, where every other word has to be one of George Carlin's 7 words. So if you can't express yourself, it's about, you know, you can express yourself. You got the freedom of expression. You can express yourself.
What is free speech? I mean, free speech exists in a society, and a society that we would like to have is one where if you're listening to a program like or a broadcast, like National Bugle or In Plain Sight or any of the great broadcasts in RBN, or when you're listening to Stormfront, I mean, you may have your children or grandchildren there, and you don't want your 5-year-old running around dropping the F-bomb. So, I mean, you know, free speech exists in a society where you have free political speech. But, you know, pornography and vulgar language, I mean, that's just something that we as a society should not accept. Now, how does that sound?
Yeah, and like the vulgar language, maybe there's a place for it. Like if you're a sailor or whatever, I don't know. I was thinking of Father Ted, and there was one episode of Father Ted where Father Jack appeared to have died because he drank some floor polish. Actually, he'd just gone into some sort of suspended animation that involved rigor mortis and decomposition. But he had left a will, and in the will he had left everything to Father Ted and Father Dougal, and the solicitor came over to explain all the money that they had inherited from Father Jack. But the solicitor was a very pretty young woman, and Father Ted was saying, "Wow, I can't believe this. But I think we should be talking to the solicitor. I think we should be talking to the solicitor." And she said, "I am the solicitor." "Oh, no, you're not. No, you're not. You're a very lovely girl, but you're not the solicitor." And Father says, "Yeah, yeah. If you're a solicitor, I'm Boy George." And then the next scene, they're in the morgue, sitting next to the coffin with Father Jack in it, and Father Ted has a black eye, and Father Dougal is singing "Karma Karma Chameleon," Father Ted says, "Oh, the language that she used, you wouldn't hear that coming from a sailor." And Father Dougal said, "Oh, no, no, no. Sailors use very, very bad words." So I thought the audience should know that.
Well, you know, vulgar language, I mean, that's a thing that sort of happened, what, in the late 60s and through the 70s and 80s, and it got worse, you know, as entertainment degenerated and as the culture and society degenerated. I mean, our ideas and our political critique, I mean, we should be able to express them in a way. You know, there is a higher language. We should be able to express that. And maybe there's a use once in a while for a slur in a strategic place or a vulgar language. But I mean, that shouldn't be the entire content of what you do, because I mean, that I've always been told that vulgar language, you know, on a consistent basis indicates lower intelligence. Mm-hmm. It's someone that's just affected by the culture, by the degenerate culture. So, I mean, one example, I mean, we know Mozart was one of the greatest composers of all time, and he bridged the gap between the Baroque and the classical period. But you know, as a person, when he was very vulgar, I mean, the letters that you find that he wrote were vulgar. You know, in person, maybe he was not like a couth person, but his work was phenomenal. And so, you know, we want to focus on the work and not, you know, not the things that, that they said in private or the vulgarities that they expressed when they were being unprofessional. So I think that's the thing here, is when we do these broadcasts, we really want to focus on the quality of the content. And it really drags it down. If you're always doing vulgarities and you're trying to fed post, and I mean, that just drags it down.
Well, all right, let's look. Yeah. And the fed posting, we lost our telephone services at RBN because of fed, not at RBN, at Stormfront, because of persistent fed posting. And we lost our call in line.
Well, I mean, regarding fed posting, we should be able to affect political change through just presenting logical, you know, arguments and criticism of those in power over us. Because really, it's not practical to advocate any type of violence. Because regardless of what your moral position is on it, it's not practical, because the system is too powerful and they can come down on us and isolate us. So what we have to reach is that critical mass where, you know, populace is convinced of our arguments, and then their violence on us becomes impractical. See, right now, our violence to them is impractical, regardless of your moral stance on it. We need to reach the point where their violence to us is impractical. And I think we're seeing some strides and some setbacks along the way, too. But, I mean, for example, before 2015, it really wasn't in the mainstream political dialogue to talk about immigration, fair trade, and non-intervention. I mean, those were definitely things that the populace was concerned about, and there was talks about it in the 90s. But, you know, once the Trump campaign sort of broke that ice, it became a mainstream talking point. And so also, you know, in conjunction with that, you had Kanye talking about Jewish power, you know, one black billionaire celebrity that sort of broke the ice on that topic. And now that's sort of becoming a mainstream talking point. And we'll soon reach critical mass on that, where they're just not going to be able to stop people from talking about it. So I think that is the way to go right now. Now, you know, you could have a breakdown of society in like the face of a nuclear war, in a Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome tier environment where everything breaks down and then you're forced to form militias to protect yourself. Okay, granted, but we're not at that point yet. Right now, we're at the point where we're trying to present political arguments to sway the populace and reach that critical mass.
You know, you make really good points. So, they have a lot of potential violent power. They have that kind of power. They have the power of military and police weaponry. They have that. They also have vulnerabilities, and the idea of, you know, going gun to gun, because we've got our guns. Of course, our guns are in our houses. They're all spread out. They're spread out everywhere. And, you know, there may be a few stray militias. One of the main biggest militias was the Oath Keepers. And, you know, how well did their – well, it wasn't really an insurrection, but their little operation go. It didn't go too well. If we're not playing – you know, by – if we were to carry out the types of things that Fed posters propose – we're going our weakness to their strength. And I don't think that's not the right way. They have vulnerabilities, and their main vulnerability is that, they have a taboo. We can't even talk about them. And so people don't know that we have a Jewish dominated elite. And this elite is very hostile to us, and they're doing all sorts of things to us, you know, vilifying white people, the people that founded the country, vilifying white people, vilifying Christianity or marginalizing it or making it absurd. I mean, speaking as somebody who is, you know, certainly not a religious Christian, I'm not really any kind of Christian. You know, that doesn't mean I've never gone to church or whatnot, but America having lost, to the extent it has, lost Christianity and having Christianity repressed the way it is, well, then how do you fight back against the trannyism? And the trannyism is really taking off. Did I mention this to you, Jeremy, that like, I'm seeing kids, like, I've been involved in youth sports for the majority of my adult life, and I'm seeing kids around me who are saying that they're a girl, but they're actually a boy, or they're a boy, but they're actually a girl. It's getting to the point where you're going to be seeing it all over. One more massive attack on us. I don't want to get too far astray, but they have some real vulnerabilities, but their vulnerability isn't their lack of sophisticated weaponry.
Right. And I think that mainstream normie is seeing this. I mean, they're seeing the trannification of our youth and they're pushing back on it. Even mm-hmm. people that would be agnostic, you know, like yourself, it doesn't make sense. It's not, I mean, they see this trannification of children, as an attack on children and a pathway to pedophilia. That is a talking point. That's a new talking point that has developed just in the last few years. You know, even just since COVID, actually. So I think that's the thing is, you know, get this critical mass of people talking about these things, you know, offering alternate political parties. I'll give a shout out to the National Justice Party over on TRS. We don't agree with everything TRS says, but overall they're doing some good work and they're not advocating violence and they're offering a political party that once the current paradigm collapses, and it will, the Democrat Republican parties, everybody are seeing them as sort of on the same page and against the people. You know, once that collapses, you know, we can emerge with some real political parties, something that people can agree with, just common sense things like, you know, let's stop immigration. We have too many. Let's stop these wars. Look at the, you know, over 100 billion sent to Ukraine. Nobody with common sense agrees with that, even leftists. I've noticed that in talking with friends and sort of monitoring the social media posts. This is not popular. They want you to think it is, but it's not. The child trannyism, the war in Ukraine, the foreign wars, none of that's popular. So they're losing that critical mass, and I think that, you know, talking about it and maintaining our platforms of free speech is very important. Resorting to violence is just not practical. It is not the time. There could be a time in the distant future, but now is not it. So,
all right.
That having been said, Twitter is a huge thing. If you're ready to move to the first.
Let's move to Twitter. Let's go for it.
I couldn't help but notice that Andrew England was restored to Twitter. And then I did see an article on the Stormer. Nick Fuentes back on Twitter.
I heard Nick, that's a Twitter show. Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't.
Apparently, I want to say he's only, as far as I know, he's only made one post on Twitter since being restored. And that is a meme of Patrick Starr from SpongeBob bursting through some doors.
Well, that's major because everybody, you know, okay, let me rephrase it. The media, you know, portrays Nick as the white supremacist and, you know, hating Jews and all of that. And he met with Trump. So, you know, amidst all of this, he gets his Twitter back and also Andrew England. So that's a good thing, because I don't really use Twitter myself, but I know there's a lot of importance in it in being able to criticize celebrities and politicians, and getting followings and doing trending articles. I mean, that's a thing. It's just a way to reach the populace. That's the bottom line. It's a way to reach that critical mass. And having someone as young and sharp as Nick who is reaching that next generation, and that is the generation, by the way, that you're talking about, the Zoomers, and even the next generation coming up, the Zoomers kids coming up, that are being trannified. Someone's got to reach them. And so having Nick on Twitter is is a huge step. Let me throw out real quick before I kick it to you. Let me throw out my Elon disclaimer. I don't think Elon is some sort of hero. I don't agree with a lot of stuff that he does or says, but since he's taken Twitter, we've had some good results. And so we'll give credit where credit's due. I would love to see Dr. David Duke restored on Twitter. I don't think I've seen that yet, but that could be if Nick and Andrew are.
I was asked about that just now. And you know, I'm so untuned into Twitter. I said, I don't think David Duke is back on Twitter. And somebody was saying that they were able to see his account, but the account hadn't been updated for years. So I don't know. Maybe he's been restored and doesn't even know it yet. Maybe it just happened within the past couple of hours. I don't know. But if you know, Nick's back on, Mark Collett back on. So I would think if it hasn't happened already, it's probably just a matter of time.
And that's monumental because, I mean, I don't want anybody to dismiss Dr. Duke as like some has-been or washed up or, oh, that was some leader in the past. He's currently default the leader of the pro-life movement, whether you want to acknowledge that or not. I mean, he has had major interviews on mainstream media, and he has been the one that's, you know, went the furthest in politics than any of us, than anybody in this movement. And, you know, he has the means of influencing this critical mass that we're talking about of all generations. I mean, he's a boomer and he can influence all generations, boomers, Xers, Zoomers, and millennials. He has that type of reach. So having him restored on Twitter, I think, would be critical. But it's always good to have, you know, people like Nick that reach the younger crowd. Mark is reaching the millennials and sort of the Gen Xers. You know, you got the TRS guys reaching some of the most of the Xers. And so having Duke back on, that was my litmus test as to whether we're having free speech on Twitter. If you remember, I said that. If Dr. Duke is let back on Twitter, I'll know that it's real, that we really have freedom of speech back on Twitter. Because he can present arguments without using slurs and without using any vulgar language or any type of violent language. He can present very sound arguments that compels people and that gets them to think, you know?
Well, I tell you something. You know, he's been doing his show for the past 11 years. It's about right about 11 years right now. He started in January 2012. I joined it, I think, in September of 2012. But I was listening to it before that. And, of course, he had a he was doing Twitter for a while. For a while, he was reasonably effective at it. I don't know if it's his best medium. No, it's not his best medium. And, of course, he wrote his books, and the books are really important. And, well, I mean, they stand on their own. Perhaps as, to me, maybe even his most effective medium was his videos. He had these short videos, 10 to 20 minutes. Occasionally they were longer, but usually these short videos that were in the aughts were coming out every week. And that's where I really got exposed to him because I knew his name. And I just, I mean, one of the very first letter to the editor I ever wrote, I wrote a letter to, I guess, the Washington Post complaining about President George Bush failing to properly denounce David Duke, you know, because he's the KKK guy, right? So, and then some years later, one of my friends said, oh, well, actually, he's not some dumb redneck. He's really intelligent and articulate, and that's why they don't like him. So I kept that in the back of my mind. And then I think I was at a pro-Palestinian demonstration or something, and somebody started talking to me about David Duke. I thought, well, I bet maybe I'll check him out. So I checked him out, and I was very surprised. And that's when he was making those videos back in the aughts and going up until he got his radio show. The radio show, if you listen to it every day, you'll hear a lot of interesting stuff. But the problem with radio is it just goes out into the ether. Yeah. And so what he's starting to try to focus on now.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. And one of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Standing 6'4", weighing 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science, analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show. Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
If you listen to it every day, you'll hear a lot of interesting stuff. But the problem with radio is it just goes out into the ether. Yeah. And so what he's starting to try to focus on now is using the radio show for brainstorming, for getting, you know, developing ideas, but then getting the ideas down into short articles, which can be posted on his website, which can be maybe posted on Kevin McDonald or Ron Unce's websites. And then, you know, developing them further and consolidating them, maybe eventually into another book. It doesn't have to be a book, but, you know, it's been, the last book he published was, I guess, 2012 or 2013. And that was the, Secret Behind Communism. And a lot has happened since then. And the, you know, he's had a lot of good things, a lot of good takes. But they're not in the readily digestible form because nobody can go back and just listen to hours and hours of archived radio shows.
Well, that's why Twitter is important. That's why Twitter is important, because it is so mainstream and people have to react to it. And I would agree with you that his strong point is his videos. However, I think his strongest point was back in the day when he was invited on a mainstream media and talk shows. And these archives can be looked up and found. You feature them on one of your shows. Mm-hmm. Because his strongest point is in person, when he's under pressure, on camera, and he can analyze his opponent and debate his opponent and present the facts in such a way that can't be disputed. And it makes like whoever's questioning him just look like idiots. He just really does. And that's why they don't have him back on the mainstream. So on Twitter, if he could present these arguments, if he does get his Twitter back and he could present these arguments on Twitter, the main, that'll be like tantamount to being back in the mainstream media, because they're not going to be able to ignore him at that point. And his arguments will be out there in the mainstream again via Twitter. I think that that's the point that I was making.
Okay. Well, that's good. Hey, are you going to go on Twitter?
No, I'm not a tweeting kind of person. I'm really digging the Plain Sight Show. I'm an RBN guy, and I do some stuff on Facebook. I usually just use Facebook to monitor my hundreds of friends, because I have such a variety of leftists and right wingers, and I can sort of like gauge the way the political winds are blowing by monitoring that. No, I'm not going on Twitter, but that's just not my thing. It's not everybody.
It's not my thing either. Not my thing. There's only so many hours in the day, and I do these shows, and maybe I could work with Dr. Duke on some articles or something. And I have a book that is 80% finished. It may well be 100% finished before long. So I'm just saying, there's good stuff in it. Some good stuff.
Be looking forward to that book by Dr. Slattery.
So
if you're ready to move on to the next one,
let's do that.
Some articles. We've got Ukraine and Taiwan up hot on the list. So I guess the U.S. and Germany are supplying a bunch of tanks to Ukraine. You got to figure Germany, like, their people must be hating this whole thing. I mean, I know they are, because there's all kinds of protests. The support of the Ukraine has caused them much suffering in the form of gas and heating for the winter. But the government of Germany with the U.S. is sending more tanks to the Ukraine to try to push back on Russia. One of the quotes from the article here, this is from Reuters, and the article reads, U.S. and Germany poised to send tanks to Ukraine. One of the articles talked about, democracy using their fist, to punch into Russia. I got to tell you, it's got to be a bad thing when you're fisted by democracy.
When I heard you say fists, I didn't like where this was going.
It was going bad. So, but in the midst of all of this, one of the crux point of the article is that Zelensky has been dismissing many of his officials. Not only that, but cops and former officials and even current officials from the government are prevented from leaving the Ukraine. Now, that's a fisting democracy if there ever was one.
It's a fisting. Yeah.
Preventing someone from leaving, preventing your leaders and, military and law enforcement officials from actually leaving. So on Tuesday, Ukraine dismissed more than a dozen senior officials as part of an anti-corruption drive made more critical by the need to keep its Western backers on side. So, I mean, if, I don't know if you get to read this, but what this is telling me is that the Zelensky regime is falling apart, and he's actually dismissing people that are saying, hey, this war is not working out. We're not on board. One of the ones I remember, the Stormer article, was Aristosovich. I don't know if I pronounced his name right. He was the senior advisor to Zelensky.
Okay.
One of the PR senior ministers. And Aristosovich was dismissed, and then shortly after, I mean, he was going out and talking about how the Ukraine can't win this war. So I'm bringing this leadership purge up in the article here. It's an RT article. To kick it to you and say, like, you are predicting that eventually, as this drags out, the army might actually turn on Zelensky. There might actually be a coup d'etat. And with so many officials going against him and being dismissed, I mean, that might be evidence of that. I mean, what do you make of that? Do you think that's happening?
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you.
Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Honestly, this stuff works. Nick, easy to take capsules. For those who can't handle the liquid drops, easy to take Extendivite capsules do the same job. Karoka Fam, works great. Like Extendivite very much. Seems to work as advertised. Thanks. Arlene, 5 stars. Love this product, Extendivite. Terry W, 5 stars. Can't say enough. Great product. Freya, 5 stars. I just ordered another. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You know, the army might actually turn on Zelensky. There might actually be a coup d'etat. And with so many officials going against him and being dismissed, I mean, that might be evidence of that. I mean, what do you make of that? Do you think that's happening?
Yeah, I haven't made a ton of predictions, especially particularly concrete predictions. I did say that I expect sooner or later Zelensky to be overthrown, most likely by his own generals or maybe colonels or whatever, but from within the military. There's one more thing. I mean, there's these dismissals that you're talking about. I believe that top advisor was somebody from the entertainment industry that has been close to Zelensky for a while. So there's that. But there's something else, and I haven't heard a whole lot of talk about it, but what was it? About a week ago, there was a helicopter crash, or actually not a crash. A helicopter was shot down. A helicopter was shot down, and probably not with a Russian missile, but probably with a. There's talk that it was a Patriot missile. So was it a friendly fire accident or whatever? Well, who was in the helicopter? Well, you had the defense minister, but the interior minister, the person in charge of domestic security, in charge of the police, the interior minister, but not just the interior minister, but like the entire top echelon of the interior ministry. So the vice minister and all the top officials of the interior ministry, they're gone. They're dead. And, you know, and it's unclear exactly the circumstances. You know, it's possible that it was a, that it was a Russian missile. It could have been, you know, they would be a target as far as Russia is concerned. But, and I guess I don't, as to my knowledge, video evidence of it hasn't emerged. I mean, it's, there's no doubt that these people died. But, you know, how were they shot down? But, you know, last question is, why were all of the top officials from this ministry, this very important ministry, in a helicopter above a war zone? Why were they all in the same helicopter?
Were these people against Zelensky, were they, you know, considered subversive, and was this on purpose? I'm asking that question. Well,
yeah, and who knows? Who knows? There's all sorts of speculation. So it's weird. Even them putting all these people, or having all these people from the Interior Ministry, the top people, all get into the same helicopter is strange. What motivated that? Why did they think that was a good idea? But they're gone now. And, you know, if these were really pro-Zelensky people, then he's lost, some of his important supporters. If they were anti-Zelensky people, then it shows that it might be evidence of a whole bunch of infighting to the death. So whatever, it's strange, and things are falling apart there. Of course, they're falling apart here too. You know, everything, we're all in bad shape. I never thought that Trannyism would be this, like, would hit so close to home, right?
Right.
And you got the black riots starting up again, right? In Atlanta, in Boston. You got these riots, not just black riots, but Antifa riots. So,
yeah,
like, things are really falling apart, and then the Biden's being thrown under the bus.
Yeah, the Ukrainian officials who were dismissed were governors of 5 regions, and I'm not going to pronounce all the names of the regions. I don't want to try that. Plus, people would be out. You know, they wouldn't know what we're talking about. But basically, 5 governors of regions were dismissed. It is sort of mirroring what's happened in the U.S. with the system, the Jewish-dominated system, government, whatever you want to call it, turning on the Biden, and maybe even going through a purge of its own.
And so, 5 governors. So that's a big deal, because how many regions does Ukraine have? It's somewhere like 25 to 30. 5 of them have already been annexed to Russia. And so, you know, this might be like 1/4 of the remaining regions, you know, 1/5 to 1/4 of them, of these regions having their governors replaced. And it's a big deal. So there's a lot going on over there. There's a lot going on here. Ron Klain, the Biden's perhaps puppet master, certainly his chief of staff, he's leaving. Why is he leaving? And he's being replaced by yet another Jew. What's the guy's name? Zaintz, who was originally the COVID czar. He was somebody that was in the song. He was in the catalog song of all the Jews in the new Biden cabinet that Engelbert Poindexter sang a couple of years ago. He was one of the Jews.
So you have that, and in the midst of all this, we've got the China-Taiwan thing. So the U.S. is scrambling and, like, printing money like crazy to try to support the Ukraine, but yet they're still insisting on Taiwan independence, which would lead to a war with China.
And yeah.
The article that I'm going to pull up basically stating that we don't have, that the West doesn't have the munitions to support such a conflict. What were you going to say?
You know, so as for munitions productions, when you pull up, when I pull up, I boot on my computer, on boot, whatever, my computer, turn on the computer, and I get Microsoft Network News. And it's complete nonsense. You know, Putin is dying of cancer. He's trying to bring as many people with him to hell as he can. All this bizarre stuff. What else? I can't remember what else I was going to mention about that, but the Russians are, you know, they for the past 8 or 9 or 10 months they've been running out of ammunition. Really, you know, last time I looked, they're shooting off like 20,000 shells a day, whereas Ukraine's with all of its Western backing is only shooting 1/10 that amount, and the Russians obviously have the capacity to produce 20,000 of these a day, 20,000 shells, whatever they are. They can produce these. Their military industrial infrastructure is capable of this. And ours really, you know, it's surprising because we have such a big, you know, military contracting industry, but they're not making what's needed. And, you know, you hear about, certain tanks, what kind of tanks, and you hear about the HIMARS missiles, and none of these things have turned the tide of the war. They're weaponry that the Ukrainians don't have familiarity with. They're not capable of utilizing them, and this is all going incredibly badly. And of course, China's overall industrial capacity is way greater than Russia's. So, you know, the best United States could hope to do would be a civilization ending World War III, nuclear war. That's our best job.
That's one of the things that the article, the RT article brings up, is that with, you know, if the West is barely able to supply munitions to Ukraine, how could it possibly face China over the Taiwan conflict? There's actually a think tank that did a study on this called the CSIS, Center for Strategic and International Studies. It ran a simulation, and it has urged the Pentagon to stockpile weapons and the materials to produce them, and to incentivize manufacturers to build new facilities. So, you know, we read about these simulations and all of that. But here's the question: is how much outsourcing, because the U.S. does so much outsourcing, how much outsourcing, you know, affects the military-industrial complex? How much are they relying on foreign powers to bring them their materials and weapons, and or, you know, to sell it to them? And of these powers, how many of them would choose the side of Russia and China? Is China supplying a lot of these things?
I mean, absolutely. China is a lot of important components would come from China. A lot comes, you know, there computer chips and whatnot. Korea, Taiwan actually produces a lot of important computer chips, but if there was a conflict, how accessible would those computer chips be to American industry? They wouldn't be accessible anymore. 30 years ago, Ross Perot was warning about this, and he was saying, you know, people were saying to him at the time, it doesn't matter what America makes, potato chips, computer chips, they're all chips. I mean, that was actually the title of an article. They're all chips. It doesn't matter. We can source things from overseas. And Ross Perot kept coming back and saying, if there's a war, we can't. If there's a war, we're going to need to make our own boots. And, you know, that might have been kind of like an old boomer type of thing. Well, he's not a boomer. He was a boomer's parent. But might have been an old-fashioned type of thing to say. But here we are. We're living that. We've been living that since before the Ukraine war. What happened with the whole corona apocalypse? We weren't able to get what? What couldn't we get? We couldn't get vitamin C. We couldn't get antibiotics because so many of the precursors, it's all coming from China, and that trade broke down. So we're in bad shape. One last thing about China. You know, you ask what this is all for, and, you know, it's kind of fun to say that the Ukraine war is about, you know, gay anal sex. But it's actually a Jewish vendetta against Vladimir Putin. Maybe that's not quite as normie friendly as saying it's about gay anal sex. With Taiwan independence, the normie knows nothing about it. And even the journalists from you know, the New York Times, the Washington Post, AP, whatever, have a complete misunderstanding. And they'll write things like Taiwan broke away in 1949. It didn't break away from the mainland in 1949. You had a civil war. And, of course, Americans know nothing about civil wars because we never had one. What we call the Civil War, you know, it was a war of secession. The southern states were trying to leave. That's not the same as the Civil War. Civil War is where you have two different sides fighting to rule that same country. And the
a true civil war, just to clarify, would be if the South were trying to take over the North and like rule the entire nation.
Right. Which is not what was happening. So it wasn't a civil war. I mean, I use the term civil war just because that's become the name of it, but the American Civil War was not a civil war, right? I mean, there are people who will insist on calling it something else and fine, whatever. I usually call it the American Civil War, but it was not a civil war. What China had in the 30s and 40s was a civil war where you had the communists and you had the nationalists in particular. You had smaller, warlords as well, but they were fighting to rule the entire country. They both claimed the same territory. And so you had Chiang Kai-shek, when he was back on his heels, he went back to his to Taiwan, which was at the time it was part of China and it never declared independence. He had no intention of declaring independence. His intention was always to retake the mainland. May I there's no real good analogy, but how about this for an analogy, okay? What if you had that disputed election in 2020 and, Trump, let's just say he refused to leave office, and then the Biden raised an army of trannies from Seattle and invaded Washington, D.C., and then Trump retreated to Mar-a-Lago, and he dug a big canal across Lake Obi-Wan Kenobi, whatever it is, down in Florida, and filled it with flaming alligators. And so southern Florida is an island now, and Trump's there, and he's plotting his return to Washington, D.C., to take his rightful place in the White House. Would that mean southern Florida declared independence? I would say no, it doesn't.
Yeah, no, I get that analogy. It's not, yeah, another thing. One of the things that this think tank, the CSIS, pointed out that, its major donors are contractors, military contractors that make a lot of money off of war. Lockheed Martin, Boeing, General Dynamics, and all of these contractors criticized the state, the U.S. defense industry as inadequate. And, the production base cannot support a protracted high-intensity conflict against China. So these guys are basically like, look, we're not going to make money off of this. Like, you can't do this. So,
well, the fact of,
go ahead, Patrick.
I was just going to say, the fact is, we can't win a war. And military contractors, a lot of them are very much American-based and can see the writing on the wall. And they're capable of saying, we can't win. There's no way we can win this war and we shouldn't fight it. The problem is that we've got our actual foreign policy decision making apparatus in the hands of Jews who, as individuals, are, they're very, very paranoid and they feel like they're back on their heels. They feel like they've got their backs to the wall and, they really don't seem to have the same mechanisms for capability of being able to learn from mistakes. And so it's just a very, very dangerous situation. These people who are actually controlling our foreign policy don't really have a viable off-ramp from Ukraine. They're not in Taiwan yet, but they're poised on the on-ramp. And hopefully you'll have cooler heads that will intervene, and because to get involved in an actual shooting war with Russia and China, that could be the end of civilization. It could mean the death of us all.
Well, on that, let me hit on some points that you were making, you and Cato were making yesterday on National Bugle.
Okay.
Talking about the...
You wrap us up with that. Go for it. Take as much time as you need, and that'll wrap us up.
Talking about the Belt and Road Initiative. So you have the diaspora Jews, you know, that control America pretty much in the West, and very anti-China, anti-Russia, with no off-ramp, as you mentioned. But then you have some Jews in Israel that maybe are stepping back and kind of wanting to see which way the winds are blowing. And if indeed, and it looks like it's going to happen, you know, that China becomes the world dominant force and they do the Belt and Road Initiative, you know, as you mentioned, the area that's called...
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream, or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Stepping back and kind of wanting to see which way the winds are blowing. And if indeed, and it looks like it's going to happen, you know, that China becomes the world dominant force and they do the Belt and Road Initiative, you know, as you mentioned, the area that's called the Greater Israel, I mean, that is a choke point between trade, between Europe and the East and Africa. And anybody that ruled that area could have a very good hand if they were playing poker. I mean, they could be holding all of the cards, or at least have a very strategic point if you're talking geopolitics. So it's not a matter of Russia, or I'm sorry, it's not a matter of Israel controlling China. to do the Belt and Road. It's a matter of, I think, Israel stepping back and saying, okay, the West is going down. China is going to, you know, rule the world and at least in trade and take the place of the U.S. We want to be in the center point of this Belt and Road. We want to have some sort of control in this trade route that goes between Europe, Africa, and the East. That's sort of my take on it, that Israel is not controlling China, but they're wanting to step back. And then once China takes power and establishes this trade route, this just sort of latch onto them and you know, suck all that they can out of them.
Yeah, so my way of looking at it is that without Jews in control of the United States, Israel is extremely vulnerable, right? Without the backing of the United States, you know, you've got the Palestinian issue, you've got bad relations with Syria, with Iran, potentially with other countries that, you know, are like Egypt and Saudi Arabia, which are benefactors of American power, which isn't going to exist much longer. To me, it's more like this, that there are people in Israel who are worried about the very survival, the very existence of Israel should America go down. And cooperation, if they cooperate with China in a world that's China and Russia, in a world that's dominated by China and Russia, they may be allowed to survive. I don't really even think it's so much it's better than the alternative, which is being pushed into the sea. So to me, the cards are, I mean, the strong hand is in Russia, it's in China. The Israelis have a weak hand, but if they play it right, can survive. That's the way I see it.
Well, I think we're seeing it the same way. I just verbalized it differently.
Yeah.
You had a much more eloquent way. Yeah,
A little more emphasis, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because they would maintain a more strategic point in the Middle East with China and Russia, especially if they had control of most of what's called the Greater Israel. They'll never have full control of it with Iran in power, but they could control, you know, very strategic points.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think China and Russia are ideologically driven to destroy Israel or to restore that land to Palestine. I think they probably don't care that much one way or another. And if the path of least resistance is to leave the Israeli state intact, if they're going to cooperate, then that's probably what they do. That's my guess. Any final thoughts?
The final thought would be, as a Christian, you know, everything that we just laid out in the last few minutes of that scenario agrees with biblical prophecy that the Greater Israel will be the center of trade of the world.
Well, there you go. Okay, thank you for joining me, Jeremy.
Thank you, Patrick. You stay classy, my friend.
I'm doing my best, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National News Radio.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Complicit news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
This is RBN. The Republic Broadcasting Network.